Urban Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Kia ora, Kirsten. How are you?
I am good.
I'm excited for this segment
morning.
What are we talking about today?
So I hope you guys like it. This is sort of an old music. So these are the crooners.
The crooners.
So I looked at some of the lists, you know, of top crooners to try to get some good names, was including, you know, men and women, black and white folks. And I'm like, no, I want the white men, although they're not all white men, that we're actually going to play today. You know, I can see them wanting to, you know, make the list more diverse. But, you know, Nina Simone, she's on her own list.
She's not a crooner.
You know? Yeah,
she's
that's
not a
right.
crooner. I think the term crooner has a slight, like, kind of like cheesiness to
so
it. Nina Simone is not cheesy.
Yeah, and a lot of, you know, Marvin Gaye. Come on, we're talking R&B and soul. So I'm going back to the 1930s, white guys with tuxedos and sideburns, martinis, cigars, and the ballrooms with the orchestra.
Excellent.
All right,
I'm gonna hit this first one here.
This one goes out to all the lovers.
Oh dear.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay.
Suddenly the room is darkened.
Oh, yes.
The lights have dimmed.
Yeah, where'd the smoke come from? Who's smoking?
The dry ice is pumping.
I've been terribly alone and forgotten.
So it is about the voice, right? It's the voice and the delivery and the interpretation. Like, I mean, we'll get some layers with strings and stuff, but it really is this voice and the character of the singer.
So this is a...
Does that delay? I left. You know.
Oh, here comes the strings.
San Francisco.
So this is Tony Bennett.
So 1953, this was a big hit. And he was the first to record the song. And he's still alive.
He made like an album with like Lady Gaga.
Yeah. Amy Winehouse,
all those people.
Well, that shows like the influence that this aesthetic, as you know, like it had its heyday, and people say it sort of died in the 60s because of rock and roll, but it's had sort of resurgences in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, Justin Timberlake even has an album where he's in a tux and has one of those old microphones.
Mm. Yeah, actually, someone's already texted in saying microphones enabled the crooner style. Is that true? The kind of development of tech?
Yeah, so I was going to talk about that. So microphones were developed, you know, by Graham Bell and those inventors in the late 1800s. And then they just used them. You know those press microphones you have on the desk and you just press it and make an announcement?
Yeah.
You know, so it was used in the war and stuff. But in 1930s is when they started using it for singing. And now all of a sudden you could sing soft. Because you never could before.
Didn't have to belt
and
it out.
And that's why you can, you know, just get close to the... So this whole style didn't exist in human, you know, like it couldn't.
Yeah, yeah. I think when you think of a crooner as well, you're imagining them like cupping the microphone like a lover. You know, and leaning in.
Wow. Oh my God.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know, like those big ones too, those circly ones with the thing on the outside, and it's on the stand, you know.
Someone says crooner is Christmas.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, this feels festive.
Well, you know, where is crooner? It's still going. One of the places it's fitting in our lives. You know, we don't want to hear it like, you know, maybe on the way to work, which you guys are this morning.
Yeah, hey guys.
But but Christmas, you know, so that's interesting too, that there's a place where we want sentimentality,
reflection,
nostalgia.
Funnily enough, the next artist, I think we have this Christmas record at home. Nat King Cole Christmas record.
So this is, you know, so they're not all white. Nat King Cole, I mean, is grounded in jazz, but he had all these real pop hits in the 50s. Now, this is 1958. Like, these guys... This was going the same time as rock and roll.
Mm.
You know, people imagine the chart was just all, you know...
So who was listening to this, though? Was it the same demographic? Was it young people? Was it older people?
I mean, obviously it was parents and the ones that liked it in the 40s, but it was still, it was charting, so this is what was played.
Okay, yeah.
And rock and roll was still kind of a little bit fringy, you know, very young. But, you know, the funny thing is, okay, so rock and roll, we know when it came out, people just thought it was satanic and sexual and gonna, you know... demoralize American society. They thought the same with these guys.
With crooners.
Yes. And they called the ladies that liked them were called Bobby Soxers.
Bobby Soxers.
Oh, because they wore their little socks and they just screamed for these guys.
Disgusting little socks.
I know. And it was the downfall of America.
All these women in their socks.
I won't have it. How slow. Now, this guy's voice to me is just like marshmallows.
Oh, he's amazing.
For me, it's the strings that make it. I love the strings.
So
yeah, they just flip and fall around.
As you say, the microphone was hugely important in developing this as a genre or as a style of singing. What kind of other worlds did this come from? Jazz? Has that been a big influence on this? Or?
Yeah. So to sort of really homogenize the story, there was jazz, and then jazz started getting, you know, more extreme, more innovative, and white people got hold of jazz, and you got the orchestras, and it kind of, you know, middle jazz, you know.
They made it a bit boring.
Yeah, and you get the sort of white jazz and the big band and stuff, and it was not as weird and, you know, with so many key changes and chord changes and blue notes and stuff. But this was just popular music.
Yeah.
This was pop, because, and that's where the kind of the word popular music came from, because it wasn't folk, it wasn't country.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And so it had jazz elements, and people came from jazz, you know, like Nat King Cole. But this isn't jazz. This isn't Miles Davis just, like, you know, rambling all over the place. So this is pop. I mean, you know. It takes elements, I guess, like pop today. It will take elements from all sorts of quite extreme genres.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it puts in a little more palatable, easy to listen, you know, non-subcultural.
What was the scene like? Were people dancing to this? Were there clubs where you'd go?
Yes. Yes, this is where you go out dancing. You know, you take your partner, whether you're married to them or you want to go meet someone, and you go dancing. But it was elegant, stylish.
I'm imagining some poised gloves and satin dresses.
But I mean, a ring over the glove.
At the time, it was still naughty, you know, because you're going out there to, like, hook up or dance close, you know, because you had the partner dancing, you know?
Wow.
Even now, I think a lot of us, you wouldn't want to do that with a whole bunch of strangers. But back then, that's how you
these COVID times.
Oh, sorry.
No crooning right now.
Someone says, love crooners, takes me back to my nana's lounge and her tape player. Big time. You were saying it reminded you of your granddad's van.
Yeah, my granddad's van. He had this old Dean Martin CD. Still has it, actually.
Shout out.
But yeah, we just put it on.
And all these guys, I mean, Dean Martin included, and Nat King Cole, I hadn't realised, a lot of them did TV and movies as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, so they kind of had this...
They dominated. You know, they had everything. I mean, Nat King Cole had his own TV show. So they were the thing, you know? Mm. People swooned for the croon.
It almost gives me, like, early Disney film vibes.
That same orchestration, I totally reckon.
Same era as well.
Because in the 1960s, yeah, it's the same, the orchestra's the same composer sometimes. So this is the guy.
Okay. We've had so many texts with this person's name.
Okay. Okay, this is so funny because it reminds me of all the other bands today. Frank Sinatra says he's not a crooner. You know how all the bands are there? It's like you wait for every note to see what he's going to do. How long he's going to hold it. How long he's going to anticipate before it. How he's going to hit it.
I think someone said, like, modern crooners are a bit naff. Old school all the way. And they've used Michael Bublé as an example
there. Yeah, so I was going to say that Harry Connick and Michael Bublé tried to do sort of the same thing. I mean, obviously they're really successful, so it's working for some people.
But it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, this is like of a time, literally of a time, whereas when you get Michael Bublé, he's throwing back to a time, you know.
And Frank Sinatra was an amazing person. A little abusive, aggressive, angry, but a super, really fought hard for anti-racism, connections to the mafia. You know, he's just this really
mixed bag.
Interesting person. So this song was from 1936, from a movie, but he re-recorded it in 64.
Oh,
wow, okay. So it has longevity.
So he had, you know, waxes and wanes in his career. He was more younger for Bobby Soxers earlier on, and then came back as a nostalgia artist, like in the late 50s. You know, like he's been doing this nostalgia. But so he's competing with the Beatles in the charts.
That's so interesting, eh? So also, as we've kind of touched on, I guess, like Hollywood must have had a big influence on this as well.
Yes, because they would, you know, put them in a film and the matching film would have the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And Well, we kind of do that still today, right?
You we know, do,
you'll have your song attached to a film and the film comes out and the song goes up in the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because they're all owned by the same corporations, let's be honest, you know, and it's this feedback loop of... But, I mean, there's still no denying this guy's voice.
Oh, blue eyes. Got some texts in about John Rawls.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Williams. Big crooners over here. Someone said Marlon Williams. He can croon.
Yes,
but, you know,
yes, and he likes that aesthetic. You
he
can
does,
see
yeah,
it,
yeah.
Those microphones. Yeah, and I think it's a different masculinity, right? You know, these guys, the masculinity was about elegance and style.
It's the James
suave.
Bond masculinity.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Keep that breathless and they were sexy. I mean, I think a lot of men are not acknowledging
where
why
the,
they like these artists so much.
Where are the three-piece suits today?
But I think, you know, women liked them, but I think men liked them too. Just subtly like, wow, that is a dude. I mean, they probably... possibly aroused some queer desires.
Nice.
He's waiting, you know, too. He's making you wait for it. Oh!
That was Frank Sinatra with The Way You Look Tonight. Before that, Nat King Cole, The Very Thought of You. And Tony Bennett, I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Aww.
Oh, a
go
lot of
get it.
Pining.
Go get it back.
Go get it back. Go grab it.
Yeah, I hope everyone has their tissues.
Yeah, aww. Exactly. I hope everyone enjoyed that. I very much
that
enjoyed
fun.
That. I feel like I've been chilling out by the fire with my record player on. Thank you for that, Kirsten, for bringing us crooners this morning. Where are we going next week?
Next week, I'm going to have the flute.
Ooh.
I'm the flute.
Okay.
I love flutes.
I used to play the flute in the school orchestra.
Oh my gosh, we've got the experts here.
I'm not very well, so I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Kirsten. We will see you next week.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Thank you very much.